Now we're going to turn again in our Bibles to God's precious word. And this evening we're turning to the Gospel of Luke chapter 13. And we're going to read from the 24th verse of the hymn, or the portion of scripture, the verse 24 of Luke chapter 13. And let's hear the word of the Lord. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us, and he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, when we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. And he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west, and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. The same day there came certain of the Pharisees, saying unto him, get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. And he said unto them, go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, and do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow, and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, and verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word to our hearts afresh. Let's unite together at the throne of grace in prayer. Our gracious and our loving God, we thank thee for what our ears have heard and what we have read this evening as we've come to thee. Our God, we think of the bold warning of our Saviour that there are those who will see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom and themselves thrust out. And we pray that it might not be that there are those under the sound of the word tonight who will be in that number. We pray for thy help and blessing. Draw us near to thee. Give us help from the sanctuary. And bless the word to each of our hearts tonight. For it is in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. The last two verses are my text this evening. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, and verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. The city of Jerusalem was a city with many mighty privileges. From the very first, when David captured it from the Jebusites in 1046 BC and made it its capital, this city had a remarkable history. Later on, it was to be the place where Solomon built his temple, and it became thus the place where God dwelled among his people. And we read, and we know how the Jews, at least once a year and maybe several times a year, would have made their way up to Jerusalem and to the temple to make their sacrifices and their offerings to the Lord. And we think of how at Jerusalem it was that when our Savior was born, he was brought to be circumcised. We think of how on several occasions that the Lord during his ministry was in the city of Jerusalem. We think of the times when he threw the money changers out of the temple. And we think of how when though his ministry was mainly centered about Galilee, still there were those times when he ministered in the city of Jerusalem. We know too that in the time to come, the new Jerusalem, that is the heavenly city, will be named after this Jerusalem. And we read about that in Revelation chapter 22 earlier on. But here is the Lord's lament for this city. We find here that some of the Pharisees came to the Lord and said that he should flee because Herod was seeking to kill him. And the Lord told them that no prophet would perish, or the prophet, the Messiah, would not perish outside of Jerusalem. So he was not concerned about what Herod would do at the time. And he speaks to them about this place of Jerusalem. And then he goes into this lament. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, he says, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How oft would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wing, and ye would not. This has been called the heartbreak passage. And here is the Lord, and he's breaking his heart over the city of Jerusalem. But I want you to notice that he speaks here in terms of an offer. There's an offer that had been made many times to the city of Jerusalem. The Lord said, I would have gathered thee as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings. The Lord says, I would have gathered you to myself. And he puts this in the sense of an offer that is being made. And as such, we have really a picture of the gospel, because the gospel in many ways is an offer that has been made. Now there are two things you can do with an offer. You can accept the offer, or you can reject the offer. But there is an offer that has been made to men and women in this day and generation. The gospel comes with the offer of salvation, comes with the offer of peace, comes with the offer of pardon, comes with the offer of eternal life and blessings forevermore. And I want us to think about the offers of the gospel tonight, the offer of Christ in the gospel. And I want us just to take time tonight to think about the Lord's words here in the text of Scripture. And the first thing that I want you to consider tonight is his plan. Look again at verse 34. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how oft would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. So it's his intention to gather them together, to care for them, to bring them into the shelter of the fold. And you notice the procedure for the gathering. The Lord's offer is to bring them, and his intention is to gather them together unto himself, to bring them into this place of protection, to bring them into this place of safety, to bring them into this place of comfort. And of course, there is the signifying of relationship here. The hen gathers her own brood, her own family, her own people under the wings. And here's the wonderful picture of the offer that the Savior is making. And I want you to see what it is. It is that he wants to bring you into his family. He wants to bring you into his fold. He wants to bring you into his place of safety and security, and to be with him. Now, dear friend, I want you to notice that this is a wonderful and a marvelous offer. But I want you to think about what it implies. It implies a distance. It implies that you're at a distance at the moment. If the Lord wanted to gather Jerusalem together, that would signify that they were scattered, That signifies that they were at a distance from the Lord. They weren't in the right place. They were away from him. And could I say that that is a picture of men in their sin tonight? You're away from him. You have wandered away. You're at a distance from the Savior. You think of the words of the prophet Isaiah when he said, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every man one to his own way." And that's your state if you're not saved today. Oh yes, you might have plenty of friends and family around you, and you're making your way in this world as best you can. You're trying to find as much satisfaction and rest as you can in the world, and you're seeking it here and seeking it there. Maybe you've recognized that you've come to a dead end as far as those things are concerned. But there are so many like Cain, the eldest son of Adam, in his sin, who became of what the Bible calls a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. Oh, wandering about here and there, trying to get a little bit of satisfaction and peace in this and that and the other things. Tell me, dear friend, are you getting anywhere? Are you succeeding? Or do you have to recognize tonight that you're making a bad fist of all of this? Oh, has it brought you to the place of warmth? Has it brought you to the place of protection? Has it brought you to the place of safety? Oh, are you not recognizing that you're at a distance from God? Not only was this a place of distance, but it was a place of danger. The implication here, when the mother hen gathers her chickens under her wings, it is to ward off the danger, to protect them. You have stories of hens that have been in fires. The firemen have gone in and they have lifted the wings of the dead mother to find the live chickens underneath. And she's been that protection. She's given her life for her little chicks. And isn't that what the Savior has done for us? My, he is given his life that we might have safety, that we might have salvation and be brought out of the danger of sin that we're in. Oh, what danger you're in. Maybe even physical danger. Because many sins bring people into places of danger because of drunkenness or drugs, temper, willfulness, stubbornness. You're in danger tonight. Danger of your soul's eternal welfare. But not only do I want you to see the procedure of the gathering, but I want you to see the place of the gathering. The Lord uses a figure here. It's the figure of the hen gathering her chickens under her wings. And what would be more wonderful than that picture there of comfort and warmth and safety that we have in this picture of the Lord gathering his people? The hymn writer said, "Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his arms were shaded, sweetly my soul shall rest." Those who are Christ are in that place of shelter. We're in his presence. We can draw near to him because we're not at a distance. Our sins have been dealt with. And the Bible says, the prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 26:3, "Of the Lord, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." And you know, if we focus ourselves and stay our minds and our hearts on the Lord, my, what trouble he brings us through. You may think of the psalmist, how he said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Oh, what safety there is. What shelter. Shelter from the old storms of life. My, not only that, but from the chilly hand of death. And when the death angel comes, there is no greater comfort and no greater peace than that is to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only does the Lord speak of a place of comfort, but it's a place of real forgiveness. The cover of the wings there, we're thinking there of the Holy of Holies. No Israelite would think of the cover of the wings, but would not think about the ark and the mercy seat. And of course, above the mercy seat, there were the two cherubim with their wings pointed in. And under the covered of the wings was the place where the high priest would go once a year and sprinkle the blood. And when the Israelite thought about the covering of the wings, that's the picture that would immediately come to mind. It's the place of the blood shedding. It's the place where the blood was sprinkled. It was the place of the blood atonement on the Day of Atonement for the Jews. And in Hebrews we speak about or hear about or read about the heavenly mercy seat, where the Lord Jesus Christ took that blood that was shed in Calvary and there presents it as the offering for the sins of men and women. And it is because of that offering that is placed beneath the wings that we find that peace and comfort and blessing and safety. That's why we can come under the shadow of his wings. We're depending tonight upon the blessed Lamb of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no greater protection than the protection that he affords to those that trust in him. We notice here the Lord's plan. But then I want you to consider the Lord's problem. It's not really his problem, it's the problem of the people. But nevertheless, the Lord says here about the people of Jerusalem, when they were offered all of these wonderful things, when they were offered this safety, when they were offered this comfort, when they were offered this peace, he said of them, "Ye would not, ye would not." They would not take it, they would not enter into it. And he speaks about their history, how down through the history of Jerusalem there had been this constant rejection of the prophets of God and the message of God. He says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee." That had been their history, rejecting the prophets. And in Matthew 23, which is the parallel passage to this one, and in verse 35, he says that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias the son of Barachias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. They had slain many of the prophets. You think of Jeremiah that they took and put in prison. You think of Zacharias the son of Barachias here, whom they slew. And to put the cap on the whole thing, they were going to reject the greatest of all, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God himself. They were going to reject him. But you know, the children of Israel are not alone in their rejection. How perverse are millions and billions of people in this world tonight. And really, the Israelites here are only acting as an illustration of men and women around about us. This is the history of mankind. This rejection of the Savior, this spurning of Christ, this turning our backs upon his way of salvation, this spurning of God, this is the constant theme that there has been down through the history of man. "Ye would not." But I want you to notice something about those words. I want you to notice that the scripture speaks here about this has been a matter of the will. This is a matter of the heart. This is something that is deep down. It's not a matter of the intellect here. This is not the fact that they have some problem with the gospel. It says they would not. There's a stubbornness in their hearts. You know, there are a lot of unbelieving people today, and they come and talk to you about the gospel, and they try to present it as a matter of intellectual problems. Mind, they have this problem and that problem and the other problem. And they would look down on Christians as if they were stupid, as if they had some kind of mental problem. But you know, it's not a matter of mental problems, not a matter of mental anything. Some of the greatest men in history, men like Lord Kelvin, Felix Mendelssohn, you think of William Wilberforce, the Apostle Paul himself. Some of the great men of history are men that believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and his salvation.
You think of the Pharisees here, these religious people, and their stubbornness. But dear friend, don't give me the thought. Don't try to tell me that it's a matter of intellectual problems. You know, I had a man who I was dealing with, and he tried to look down upon me as if I was some kind of mental inferior because I believed in God. My, he was so superior because he had rejected the thought and the myth that he thought of God. But you know, some of the greatest minds in history have been Christians. It's not a matter of intellect. It's a matter of your will. It's a matter of your heart. The reason why you're not a Christian tonight is because you will not. Because you will not. It's your stubborn heart. And you have to admit that. You need to look into your heart and you need to see what it is. You think of what it says in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. The Lord calls it an evil heart of unbelief. When Stephen, the first martyr, was on the point of death, or when he was coming to that time, he spoke to the Jews and he said, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so did ye." He says it's not a matter of your mind, it's a matter of your necks and your heart, your will, your heart. And could I suggest to you that it's the same with you? You try to put on this veneer of intellectual problems. You try to rehash the old arguments that are put off, the old stale arguments against the things of God. But my, you think of the hatred that there has been down through history against the things of God. You think of these religious men here, these great men of the Jews, and when they put the Lord Jesus on the cross, they spat at him and they walked in front of him and they scorned him and they mocked him. Is that scientific? Is that the philosophical mind? No, it's not. It's the stubborn will and the heart that rejects God and turns their back. We read in Romans chapter 8 and verse 7 that the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. And there's that natural antagonism. Man everywhere has this natural antagonism to the things of God. And isn't it about time that you faced up to things as they really are? Oh, we see the Lord's problem here. The problem with a stubborn heart. But look at his persistence. Even though there was this hardness and this stubbornness, he says that he kept on bringing the message to them. He says, how often would I have gathered thee? The Lord had not given up on them. They had rejected him and stoned his prophets and put some of them to death. But he kept on bringing the message to them. If that had been you, and you had sent out messengers with the warning and trying to warn people from danger, and they had mistreated the messengers and put some of them to death, I would warrant that you would have given up and you would have said, well, a plague on their house because this is the way that they treat my servants. But the Lord doesn't give up. He keeps on sending the servants. And the wonderful thing is that he's kept on sending his servants to you. And tonight you're under the sound of the word of God and you're listening to this message and you're hearing the word of God as it is preached in this pulpit tonight. And God in his mercy has given you another opportunity of hearing the word of God. But don't take it for granted. The Bible says, the Lord says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. This could be your last opportunity. One day it will be your last time, your last opportunity of hearing the word of God. But God has been merciful to you. And while you've rejected him, he has given you another opportunity of hearing the word of God. We see his persistence. But look at this plea. The words of our text, they're really a plea here from the Lord here. You can hear the emotion of his voice. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and he would not. You know, the Lord's desire, in one sense, is that all be saved. You read in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but as a long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now the Lord wishes that. God has a desire for men and women that they may be saved. Now not all are saved. And we have the difference here between the decreed of will and the preceptive will of God, the permissive will of God, the preceptive will and the permissive will of God. You see, there are things that God has willed and they will come to pass. There are many things. God is sovereign. His will is sovereign. He will bring it to pass. But there is also the thing that these theologians call the permissive will of God. And there are things that he permits. He permits some men to reject him. He allows for the fact that some men will reject him. But it is equally true that the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto him and be saved. You see, there is his love. There is his mercy. The Lord loves men and women. He sent his Son to die on the cross that sinners might be saved. And if you'll come to him tonight, he will not cast you out. But then I want you to see something else in the text of Scripture. I want you to see his prediction. Look at the last verse of the passage of Scripture. Luke 13, verse 35. He says to these people that would not, who continue to reject him, he said, "Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." And I want you to see how merciful the Lord had been to them, how many opportunities he had given. But you know that the Lord's mercy will not last forever. There comes that time of rejection. There comes that time when you must pay for your sin. There comes that time when the justice of God must be poured out. And that was fulfilled. The word that is given here was fulfilled in 70 AD. At that time, the inhabitants of Jerusalem had begun to fall out among themselves, and they began to dispute with one another. And we find out that they'd separated into three factions, and actually the city of Jerusalem was divided into three, and they were fighting cats and dogs with one another in the city. And before the Romans attacked, indeed, the Jews themselves had begun to kill one another and to shed their blood. And isn't it interesting how they united to shed the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? But then how these people who had been united against Christ are divided in everything else. There are many different types of people out there in the world, many different thoughts and religions, many thoughts about things, but one thing that they're united against, and that's the true message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they had been united against Christ. Now they're divided. They're killing one another. And now as they're killing one another, one day someone looked over the battlements of Jerusalem and they realized that the Romans were coming. Vespasian, with an army of 60,000 men, came along. And they threw up mounds against the city of Jerusalem, and they laid siege to the city. And it was now the time of the Passover. The people had come from all over the land, and they were there in their thousands and hundreds of thousands, even millions, and they were shut up in the city. And it soon got to be that there was no food, and they began to kill one another, eat their children, and began to do all sorts of things. And they were searching through houses for food and anything that they could get. What awful things happened You know, there were mothers that ate their own children. You know, these are the people that when the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, said, "His blood be on us and on our children." Now the blood of Christ was being visited upon them. And you know, they couldn't get away with their sin. And you know, the truth of the Lord's prediction here is seen and set down in the history books. You can go to Jerusalem today and you can see the vestiges of the evidence of what took place in fulfillment of the Lord's prophecy. And if that prophecy was fulfilled in a matter of about 35 years after the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, what about the other prophecies? Every prophecy in the Word of God has been fulfilled or will be fulfilled in days to come. There is that day when the Lord will come. And we read about the place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Did you recognize that in our scripture reading? The Lord also spoke about that. And he spoke about the people of Jerusalem, how their house would be left unto them desolate, because when the Romans came in, they wiped every building out of that place and they razed every building, including the temple, to the ground. Every aspect of that prophecy was fulfilled. Dear friend, when it comes to the weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, that prophecy will be fulfilled as well. That's why you need to be ready. That's why the Lord sends his messengers to warn you. And it's not a matter of intellect that you're rejecting this. It's not a matter of having some difficulty with the facts. The difficulty is in your heart and in your will. You see, we have said at the start of the message that the Lord comes with an offer. He speaks here in terms of an offer that he made to the people of Jerusalem. And there are two things we said that they could do with the offer. They could accept the offer or reject the offer. There's nothing else they could do. There's no third way. And we have brought to you the offer of the gospel tonight, the way of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, that those that come to him, he will in no wise cast out, he'll save. If you repent, if you get down your knees, cry out to God and ask him to save you. He said that he'll save you by his grace, and by his mercy. But dear friend, you can accept or reject. No other way. No other path. And that's what you're called to do right now. What are you going to do with Jesus, which is called Christ? May you come to him. May you trust him. May you call upon him for his salvation and his mercy. May God write his word upon our hearts. And if God has spoken to you, then get in contact with us, either by Facebook or Messenger, or go to crossgarfbc.org and you'll get details. But we want to help you tonight come to the Saviour. There are people who have been thinking, people have been on different meetings over this last little while. We've heard of souls that have been saved. Isn't it about time you came and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and as your Lord? Let's just bow and close our meeting in a word of prayer. Our loving and our gracious God, we do thank thee for thy precious word. Again this evening, we thank thee that there's mercy with the Lord. And we pray that thou wouldst apply that mercy to the hearts of sinners and draw them unto thyself by thy grace. Speak to precious, never dying souls by thy power. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen.